So we can continue chatting after the service, but let's read now from Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 12. Do not judge, or you will be judged. And with the same measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets.
Thanks, Daniel. Well, please leave your Bibles open there. My name is Simon. If we haven't met before, I'm from the later services. And I know that my hair is starting to get a little bit on the funkier side. So no judgment about that. You've just heard the passage. But someone told me during the week that my hairline is starting to recede. So I'll probably never get a haircut again. So just might have to deal with that. Prepare yourself for that. Cheryl's shaking her head at me. Thanks, Cheryl. let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the great gift that it is to us. Father, we ask that as we kind of dig into it this morning, that you'd help us to understand it, that you'd help us to live it out. And we pray all of these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a few weeks ago, the local mountain bike club had a working bee at the Douglas Trails. And so a few fellas from church and I went along to give a hand. And so we went over to the guy to kind of get our instructions. We got our instructions and we got our shovels and our picks and like this firefighting thing as well and a wheelbarrow. And we went off to our section of the track. As we were walking to our section of the track, some people came past on their bikes, riding their mountain bikes, having fun, not helping. And I said to the boys with me, I said, did you kind of feel self-righteous as we went past those other people enjoying their bike ride? And everyone burst out in laughter, because that's how we all felt as we thought about those people kind of riding past us, enjoying themselves. We were about to do some hard, sweaty work. Anyway, as we started our work on the track, digging it and shaping it, there were still a few riders coming through. And they kind of just completely rode over the good work that we were doing, and it wasn't finished yet. It wasn't appropriate for them to do that. And so it was very hard not to judge these people. It was very hard not to hope that they'd find one of the holes that we'd dug that hadn't been filled in, that somehow disappear into that hole and never to be seen again. It's very easy, isn't it? It's very easy to judge people. It's very easy to judge people in the world. And if we're good at judging people in the world, well, then I think we're particularly good at judging each other here in church. In fact, we're kind of skilled at it, really. So sometimes we say things like this. Some people here dress to too low of a standard. Some people here dress to too high of a standard. Not many people say that. I say that. Some people are never on the roster. Some people never volunteer. Some people who are new here think they can come in here and throw their weight around. Some people who are in here think they're better than other people. Some people in here, they drink too much. Some people in here have their kids, they're just so crazy and wild, they need to get them under control. Some people are too liberal. Some people are too conservative. What's the thing for you? What do you particularly judge people for here at church? What is it? We all have something. For me, it's how many Sundays people might miss. Is it one? Is it two? Is it three? Is it four? But then I actually remember, it's actually my job to be here on Sunday. I get paid to be here on Sunday. And if that wasn't my job, well, then I probably would be away as much as the next person. Friends, we're gifted at judging each other. It comes naturally to us. And Jesus knows that. He knows our hearts. And so as the Sermon on the Mount kind of draws to a close, Jesus knows that as he's kind of set this high standard for us, this high standard of living, this way to really please our God, well, he knows that our hearts are sinful. He knows that we'll use this high standard to want to judge one another. And so today, he warns us about that. He says, okay, guys, do not judge one another. And it actually gives us kind of the antidote to that in the second half of the passage. He says, you know what? Ask God. Ask God and he'll help you not to judge one another. Actually, ask God and he'll help you to live all of the ways that have been outlined in the Sermon on the Mount. So please have your Bibles open there at Matthew chapter 7. The verses will also appear on the screen. And let's have a look at verses 1 and 2 together. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you'll be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Jesus kicks off this section with an ongoing command. Do not judge, and continue not to judge. The Greek word that's used here is the word krino, and in this context it means don't be judgmental. Don't be critical. Don't go around pointing out everyone else's faults and failings. See, Jesus calls us not to judge one another, and he gives us a warning about being too judgy in the second half of verse 1 and in verse 2. He basically says, don't judge or you'll be judged in the same way. Now, we're not told who the judge is here, but I think the implied judge is God. See, if we're judging others, it shows that we don't get it. It shows that we're being self-righteous. We think it's about what we do and not about being poor in spirit. And if we think that, that is the measure that will be used to measure us. And it won't work for us. We won't get grace. We'll be condemned by God who judges us for judging others. Now that's a pretty scary warning, isn't it? It kind of freaks me out a little bit, to be honest. Well, Jesus goes on to say in verses 3 and 4, why are you worrying about the small sin that your brother or sister is doing? Don't worry about the speck in their eye. Worry about the log or the plank in your own eye. Well, pick it up with me again from verse 5. It says this. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, we've already seen it in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus, he really hates hypocrisy. We've thought about that with prayer. We've thought about that with giving. Well, here he's saying, you know what? Deal with your own sin first before you go around pointing out other people's sin. Now, when Christians kind of read this passage and think about it, I think we can kind of get the feeling that we're never, ever to go and talk to another Christian and say, hey, maybe you're not doing it exactly how we're meant to. But that's a misunderstanding of what's going on here. Jesus is saying, don't be judgmental. Don't be critical. He's saying, be realistic about your own sin. Know that we're all poor in spirit, that we're all spiritually bankrupt. Understand your own sin. Confess it. Ask for forgiveness. And then you might be able to help out a brother or sister who was kind of struggling a little bit. I think as Christians, we are called to lovingly and graciously point things out to each other, but we can only do that the way that God wants us to, in a loving and humble and gracious way, when we first realise that we are sinners, deserving God's wrath. We only don't get that because of his amazing mercy and love. Well, friends, Jesus finishes this first section in kind of a bit of a weird way. It's kind of like, did Jesus see a squirrel and then kind of say something and then come back to it? He didn't do that, don't worry, but it kind of feels like that a little bit. Let's have a look at verse 6 together. It says this: "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." Well, what's all that about? It kind of seems a bit strange after all we've seen so far. But I think Jesus is saying, hey guys, don't be judgmental. Acknowledge your own sin, and then you might be able to help others. And as you help others, be careful as you do that. And he talks about giving what is sacred to the dogs and giving pearls to pigs. Both of those animals were known for being ferocious, for being able to kind of chew you up and spit you out. I think Jesus is saying, as you go to help others, and after you've kind of removed the log or the plank from your own eye first, be discerning as you do that. Some people may not take the gospel words that you have to say to them. They may not take them well, and they may kind of tear you apart for saying them to them. So be careful. Be discerning as you're trying to try and help others. Be careful with your gospel words. And if someone kind of gets a reputation for being a bit of a dog or a bit of a pig, well then kind of be salt and light around them. Live in a way that kind of points them to Jesus, but be very careful with your words around them. Well, friends, Jesus calls us not to judge others. He calls us first to check ourselves, and then humbly we might be able to help others. And we're called to do that in a discerning way. Well, when I went to Bible college, I was a student minister at a church that struggled at an organisational level. I was from a church that was all over organisation, and I mean all over it. We had like a staff handbook telling us when we could breathe and when we couldn't. Not exactly that. But it also tells what fonts we could use. You could only use this font, a church font. And when the church font changed from time to time, everything had to change. Do you know in the kitchen how there's like a little label saying tea towel, spoon, whatever? If the church font changed, those labels had to change as well to match that font. And I'm not kidding about that. That's actually a real thing. I've seen the people doing it thinking, why are we doing this? But anyway, they were doing it. They were faithfully doing it. It was a church that was organisationally off the charts. And when you go to like a conference about churches and all that sort of stuff, this church would be like, yeah, this is the model church. Organisationally, it is killing it. And so when I went to this other church, and I was at Bible college, a church that kind of seemed to exist kind of week to week, it was really hard. It was really hard not to be really judgy. I thought, what's going on here? You guys have no organisation whatsoever. It was really hard not to think that that church was a joke. But over time, I realised that through the chaos, God was still working a way to rescue his people. And so once I'd kind of checked myself and pulled the log out of my own eye, I should have been more concerned about, was this church actually preaching the gospel or not? I was too quick to judge its organisational skills. And you know what? The gospel grows the kingdom, not organisational skills. And so here at Willows, we're heavy on the gospel, and we try to do some organisation as well as you guys. As the smiles on your face seem to indicate, you understand that. But the gospel, it's most important. Well, friends, we're not to judge each other. We're first to reflect on our own sin, and then we can kind of humbly help each other. But if we're called not to have a critical spirit with each other, well, then how much more true is that of that with the world as we interact with the world? Jesus says in John chapter 3, he didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. And we see in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus keeps saying, hey, look, guys, be salt and light in the world. And we can be salt and light by being different to the world in the things we do. We can also be salt and light in the world by the things we say. We need to share gospel words with the world. We're not to kind of scream at the world to change their behaviour. What we need to say to the world is, hey, this is Jesus. Look at Jesus. Because it's Jesus who actually saves people. It's Jesus who actually changes people. The world has no motivation to live God's way. So be salt and light. Hold out the gospel Don't judge the world. Let God do his thing. He will do his saving. And in the end, he'll do his judging as he sees fit. But it's hard, isn't it? It's hard not to judge the world. It's hard not to judge each other. And it's because we've got broken hearts. We love to judge each other. It actually makes us feel good about ourselves, doesn't it? When someone is worse at something than us, we are like, yes, they're worse than us. I actually take great joy and delight in that. And I know that's true of our hearts. That's what we're like. We actually take joy in that. That's how broken our hearts are. Well, friends, we need to remember that the kingdom belongs to those who are spiritually poor, those who are spiritually bankrupt. Remember, blessed are those who are poor in spirit because the kingdom belongs to them. We need to recognize that we have broken hearts. We need to recognize that we're going to struggle not to be judgmental. In fact, we're going to struggle to live all of the ways that Jesus has outlined in the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to struggle to speak the truth, to love people, not to kind of store up treasure here on earth, but to store it up in heaven. We're going to struggle not to worry. We're going to struggle not to be judgmental. We're going to struggle with all of that stuff that Jesus has said. It's going to be super hard for us to do that. And therefore, we're going to need to ask God to help us to live his way. That's kind of where Jesus turns next. He says, you know what? Ask God, and he'll actually help you to live this way. Well, have a look with me at verses 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, the door will be opened. I kind of get the feeling that Jesus is saying the same thing three times here. He's saying, ask, seek and knock. Now, all of these words, they're verbs, they're kind of doing words. And in the Greek, they're called present imperatives, which means they're commands that you should keep doing. So keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. I think Jesus is saying, you know what? Keep talking to your Heavenly Father. Keep asking him to help you to live his way. Ask God to help you not to have a critical spirit. Ask God to help you not to be too judgy. In fact, ask God to help you to live all of the ways that have been outlined in the Sermon on the Mount. And he will do that. He will help you to live his way because our good God loves us and he knows how to give us good gifts. And Jesus outlines this in verses 9 to 11. He basically says, you know what, if you as humans, even though you're evil, even though you're sinful, if you guys know how to give good gifts to your children, if you know how to do that, well, then surely our Heavenly Father, he knows how to do that. He will give us good things when we ask him to. He'll help us not to judge others. He'll help us not to hate or to lust or to lie or to be a hypocrite. Our Heavenly Father will help us because that's how he wants us to live. And he knows that we can't do it by ourselves. We are to keep asking God to help us to live his way. That kind of brings us to the last verse in this section. And again, it's a bit of a strange one. Have a look at verse 12 with me. It says this. So in everything, do to others what you'd have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. This verse is often called the golden rule. This kind of verse, people say, kind of summarizes all that Christians should do. And it kind of does, and it kind of doesn't exactly, but it kind of does. And this verse, it kind of acts like the end of this section. If verse 1 in chapter 7 was about not judging others, well, this verse is saying, hey, look, you know, don't judge others. It's saying, hey, treat others like you would like to be treated. So it's kind of like the bookend to this section. So the end of it kind of ties in with the start. But it's also the bookend to this whole section on the Sermon on the Mount. Now, Jesus has been saying that the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, they always pointed to more than just kind of externally living for God. They always pointed to a changed heart, a heart that actually loves God and delights in him. And so we should treat others like we would like to be treated. We should treat others the same way that God has treated us, graciously forgiving us, faithfully loving us, giving us his Son, helping us to live his way. That's definitely how we want to be treated by God, and therefore, that's how we should treat others, just like God has treated us. We should love and care for others. So no judging, no objectifying, no lying, no making others look bad. Friends, we're to love others and care for others just like God has cared for us. And when we ask our Heavenly Father to help us, He will help us to do that. Now, my children know that if they ask for something from me, generally speaking, I will give it to them. If they ask for breakfast, I will make it for them. Not so much the older ones, they can do that themselves, but the younger ones, I will make them breakfast. Even if they want porridge 3 days in a row, I will make porridge in the microwave 3 days in a row. I might complain about it, but I will still do it. If they ask for help with something, I will help them. If they want their shoes tied up or their Velcro together, I will help them to do that. If they ask for something fun to do, and say, good, something fun, I'll do my best to try and help them out with that. If they ask for some sort of present, as long as it's not off the chart, I will say, well, maybe we can combine your birthday and your Christmas and get grandma and grandpa and other grandma and grandpa. We get them all involved. Maybe we can get you the $2 toy from... No, maybe we can get you whatever it is that you want. You know, even though I'm a sinner and even though I'm a long way from being Father of the Year, I think I know how to give my kids good gifts. In fact, gifts is one of my love languages, in case you're wondering. And I know how to do gifts well. You know, someone who's into gifts, they kind of know how to do gifts well. But someone here at church, in the staff team, who's not here currently, accused me of saying, you know what, I do gifts well because when I buy people gifts, I want the gift to be kind of about me. So like, you know, I'd buy Deb a mountain bike or something like that. I don't do that. I think that's a false accusation, but that's what's been laid out in front of me. Anyway, if I know how to give good gifts, surely our Heavenly Father knows how to give us good gifts. He's perfect and He loves us. And He'll give us the things we'll need. He'll actually help us to live His way. Well, friends, I know that I struggle most to live God's way. I know that I struggle most not to judge others and not to be angry and not to be lustful and not to be a hypocrite and not to kind of store up treasures here on earth. I know that I struggle with those things when I fail to read the word and when I fail to pray. Now, friends, I know this is very true of myself. I know that when I fail to read the Bible, I just struggle. And when I fail to pray, I struggle. But when Christians are failing to read their Bible and pray, and they're struggling, I'm kind of like, duh, what did you think would happen when you don't do those things? But I know that that's true of my own life, right? I know that I need to pull the plank or the log out of my own eye before I start durring people. So if I ever dur you, dur me back. But I know that I need the Bible, and you guys need it too. We know that we need it. And there was this young guy last week after church who had a chat with me and said, I'm not going so well. I said, have you been reading your Bible? He said, no. I said, duh. No, I said, actually, you know what? You should try and read your Bible this week. Make sure you try and read through the Sermon on the Mount. Like, read through that again. And you might understand what's going on now. We've been kind of working through it. And I spoke to that young fellow yesterday, and I said, how was your week? He's like, actually, it went really well. It was great reading the Bible. And I was like, duh. And he said, duh back. No, he didn't say that to me. But anyway, reading the Bible, it should really help us. It's God's word. It's God breathed. God speaks to us in it. God actually changes us by it. It's a wonderful thing to do. Don't forget to do it. And if you haven't got a plan of how you're going to read the Bible this week, speak to me or speak to Chris or speak to someone else after the service. We would love to give you a plan to help you read the Scriptures. The Scriptures change us. Well, if we're meant to read, we're also meant to pray. We're meant to talk to our Heavenly Father. But sometimes, if we haven't been reading the Bible, if we haven't been praying, we can kind of feel really distant from God. We kind of feel like, I don't know if I can actually do that. I don't know if I can actually approach God because I haven't really been doing any of that stuff. Well, friends, if that's you, can I encourage you to draw near to God because of Jesus? Listen to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 22. It says this. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. These verses basically tell us to draw near to God in prayer, because we can. We can through Jesus' death and resurrection. We can because Jesus constantly acts as a go-between between us and God. We can approach God with confidence because of Jesus' blood. It washes us clean. Therefore, brothers and sisters, can I encourage you to draw near to God, to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking, to keep praying that God would actually help you to live his way? Well, I want to finish by giving you some example prayers, really simple prayers that you might be able to pray throughout the day or the night that might help you to live God's way. They're not perfect, they're simple, but they might just help you to continue living God's way, because remember, God hears these prayers and he'll help us. So when you're struggling not to judge others, maybe pray something like this. Father, please help me to remember my own sin and to love others. When you're worrying about stuff, maybe pray, Father, please help me to trust in your good provision and to know that you didn't spare your own son for me. When you're focusing on the things of this world, maybe pray, Father, please help me to seek your kingdom first and to know that you'll look after me. When you're struggling with human approval, with prayer or giving or something else, maybe pray, Father, please help me to serve you for your glory and your glory alone. When you're finding it hard to love others, maybe pray, Father, please help me to love others like Jesus loved me. When your marriage is hard, maybe pray, Father, please help me to love my husband or my wife just like Jesus loved the church. Or maybe when you're struggling with porn or objectifying someone, maybe pray, Father, please help me not to look at things I shouldn't. Help me to be pure just like you are pure. Friends, these are simple prayers that might help you to pray to God during the day or during the night. But when you're struggling, can I encourage you to draw near to God, to talk to him in prayer whenever? And sometimes you might feel like, I don't even want to pray to God. I don't even know what to say. But can I say to you at that point, can you say that to God? Say, God, I'm not sure what to say. I don't even know if I want to pray, but please help me. And the Spirit will intercede with groans that words can't express, and God will actually help you. Can I encourage you, whatever's going on, day or night, turn to God in prayer, and he will help you to live his way. Well, it seems fitting that we should talk to God right now, doesn't it? We can draw near to him and ask him to help us to live his way. Well, let's do that. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Father, we want to acknowledge that we are judgmental. We're critical of others. Father, please help us to realize that shows we don't exactly get the gospel. Father, help us to realize that we are spiritually bankrupt. We have nothing without Jesus. And so, Father, help us to delight in Jesus. And Father, please help us to ask you to help us to live your way. Father, whatever we're struggling with, in the day or in the night or whenever, Father, help us to shoot up simple prayers to you and to know that because you're our good Heavenly Father and you want what's best for us, you will answer those prayers that help us to live your way, that help us to get on with being your people. Father, please help us with this. And Father, if we feel distant from you, help us to know that because of Jesus, we can draw near to you at any time, even if we've just sinned. Father, help us to know that truth and help us to want to talk to you and to want to ask for your help. We pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, we're going to respond to God's word by singing a song that reminds